Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of The Period Party. I am here with Nat. Hi, Nat.
Hi.
Nat's not there. Oh, there she is. Okay, hi.
Hi. And I was muting myself.
I figured you probably were.
Hi.
And Nadia Munla, our guest for today. Hi, Nadia. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We're so
Thanks.
Thrilled to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just so everyone knows, Nadia is a health and sensuality coach, and she is immensely passionate about getting women out of their heads and into their bodies so they can feel vibrant, light, and connected again. And on this episode, she's going to explain why we're so scared of our feminine bodies and what got us here. I feel like that's a big one. She'll also share tips on how to stop fighting your body and get on the same team, as well as details on the 4 layers of embodiment. I'm very curious about that. And finally, she'll share different moving meditations that help cultivate your sensual energy, strengthen trust in your body, wisdom, and help you feel safe in your feminine body. So thank you so much for being here. I can't wait for us to dive in.
I'm excited.
Awesome. Okay, so Nat, I guess I can go first and start asking questions, and then you can jump in. But I was curious, Nadia, like how did you become a health and sensuality coach? Like, how did that come about? I always feel like there's a good story behind these things.
Yes, there is. So if I take it back, it started off very young. I had a very strong disconnection from my body early on, and I think it happened through, as it does for many women, through different layers of events that happened. And so the first one that I can remember is I was obsessed with, I wanted to be a ballerina more than anything when I was really young, and I trained, and by the time I was 8, I was in a really notorious ballet company, and I just remember the day that the teacher came to me and basically, I was like so ready, I was ready to go on point and like do this for the rest of my life, and the day, there was one day where the teacher came to me and sat me down with my mom and basically was like, listen, like, you're not going to be able to pursue your dreams because your knees are a little wonky and you're basically going to be in a lot of pain if you do this for the rest of your life. And I remember that being the first time that I started to feel like my body was something that I had to, like an obstacle and a challenge and something that I had to work to overcome in order to actually fulfill the things that my soul and my heart and my mind wanted to achieve. And that sort of layered on throughout the rest of my life. By the time I was 15, I had 2 ulcers because of undiagnosed food intolerances. And so, again, waking up to go to school and having lots of stomach aches all the time, not being able to stand and feeling like, oh, God, like, why can't my body get on the same page? Like, I've got stuff to do. And that sort of just kept going. So by the time I was, getting into my 20s and off to pursue a career, I initially got into film producing because I was in this place of very much focused on productivity and getting things done and completely disconnected from my body. And at some point, my body wouldn't let that happen anymore, right? So she was like, all right, listen up. I've given you enough signs. And she started to break down. It really just started to, I had so many health problems, a major hormonal imbalance from undiagnosed PCOS, and the combination of, my digestive system being a mess, my hormones being a mess, me being sleep deprived. I just realized, it was time. It was time to start to make friends with my body again. And that slowly had me switch to a career in health coaching initially, which eventually led me into health and sensuality coaching, which is really just the way in which I help women nourish themselves. It's through connection to their senses and their bodies. And so it was really my own little battle with my body that got me to a place where I felt so immensely passionate in getting women to, you know, reconnect with theirs.
How long ago was this, can I ask? Like, I don't know how old you are, so I'd love to kind of understand how long ago that was.
Yes, the which part?
Oh, the dog, like when you were younger and dancing. What I'm trying to establish is, you know, 10, 15 years ago, a diagnosis with stomach issues and PCOS is very different to a diagnosis today. So, you know, I can't imagine what the treatment would have been or the suggestions around what you needed to do as a teenager. I mean, we're a lot more aware now, and I can't say we're ever going to completely be there, but I just think that, you know, the longer that a problem's left or that we have to figure it out ourselves, it's, you know, it was a different time.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, this was about 20 years ago.
Very different.
And like I said, it was both of these things were like the food intolerances and the hormonal imbalance were not really diagnosed. So
no.
Now looking back in retrospect, I know what was going on. But at the time, no, you know, I didn't understand it and neither did the doctors.
Yeah. And that's so frustrating.
I can relate to that.
You know, you would have been led on just like a bum steer in the wrong direction.
Plus, I grew up in Lebanon, and so I think add another 10 years to that backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can so relate to that because I never had – nobody diagnosed me with anything either. But, of course, looking back, you can see so clearly – what the diagnosis would have been, essentially.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what, I would love to hear why you feel we're so scared of our feminine bodies. Like how do you think we got here? Because I know Nat and I definitely have our own opinions about this, but I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I can riff on this forever. So I've always been really in love with, you know, women's stories, with the women's experiences, like ever since, even when I was in film producing, I always loved the idea of telling us, you know, the women's side of the story. And I think that, you know, there's just such a rich experience that we have growing up in such a, what is deemed a very dangerous body. Right. So us as women growing up, like there's just so much thrown onto our bodies. And the way I like to think of it is, you know, when you see those poles outside in the cities where there's just like a ton of posters plastered on, like to the point that you can't really see where the first one at, you know, you can't get to the actual pole because there's just so many different, you know, Cat Missing and Rock Band and whatever posters. And I find that when we think of the woman's body in the same way, it's like we've had all these agendas plastered on us growing up. And that could be from different media messages, like reading Cosmo, I remember growing up as a teenager, to different sexual encounters and the way that maybe our boyfriend in high school made a comment about something that happened, right, to just more institutionalized perspectives like religion and government, right? There's so many different things that come sort of screaming at us and sort of perforating our boundaries as women that we get to a point where we feel we don't know where we start and their agendas end, right? There's just a very clear disconnect that happens between us and what they have to say about us and our bodies. And so I find that for women, this journey of embodiment is so much about this peeling off and removing all of these different layers that are, you don't even notice are on us, and coming back to this place of truth and authenticity and knowing really where our boundary ends and what is authentic to our experience in our bodies without anyone else screaming at us like what they have to say about it. And it's really difficult. And so it makes a lot of women feel incredibly unsafe. And so there's an automatic, it's much easier to disconnect, right? It's much easier to go, okay, I'm going to, you know, let religion or the doctor or whoever tell me what's going on in my body, instead of for me to take 5 minutes and just check in with myself and go, okay, what am I feeling? What intuitively feels right today for me to do? We've been stripped of that power, and I really think that it's time we got it back.
Yeah, I love that.
That was good. Me too.
You know,
they were on the same page, yeah, Nat.
Yeah, totally. So, you know what's really interesting in what you're saying, and I don't know whether you connect to this at all, but I've just been exploring this whole, you know, feminine and masculine within a woman, and same within a man, but how masculine, you know, very much what you're talking about, the rules and the productivity and the, you know, got to get stuff done and you've got to act a certain way, and how it's that masculine energy that we're kind of fed that we need to be when innately we're not that, as women especially. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's just,
yep.
It's kind of bizarre.
Well, I think what it comes down to is that if we're looking at these few generations right now of women that are in the world, right, we grew up very much in a society that values and rewards productivity and all the everything that comes with masculine energy, right, which is just moving forward, getting stuff done, checking stuff off the to-do list, and very much about operating from the mind. I know for me, like, I was upset that my stomach was hurting because I wanted to go to school so I could get, like, an A. This was my goal at 14 or 15. I was a total nerd, by the way, side note. And the same pattern repeats itself over and over again, no matter where you are in your life, where we continuously feel like the reward is going to come from us being really smart, being really rational, getting things checked off our to-do list, and it's much more risky to connect to your body's wisdom and to connect to your somatic intelligence, to connect to your intuitive side, to your flowy feminine side, because the environment we're living in and the structures created in society right now don't necessarily reward that. In fact, many times they look at it as like a little bit crazy, a little bit woo-woo, a little bit dangerous, depending on what version of that you might be, you know, exercising. If it's the version of, oh, yeah, I'm an empowered woman that goes pole dancing, or whether it's the version of I'm going to, you know, meditate for 20 minutes and really listen to my body and not necessarily always follow the recommendations of the, you know, the men around me. So there's a whole spectrum of ways in which you can do that and connect to your femininity. But ultimately, at this point in where we are, and it's getting a lot better because we're recalibrating in humanity right now, which is amazing, but we're still, unfortunately, a little bit more lopsided towards, you know, rewarding the masculine. And so, you know, everyone's like, ooh, you're a witch, or you're so woo-woo and new agey, right? If you, like, sit down and do anything where you're like, let me check in with my room space, you know. Like, I can tell you 2 years ago I would have been like, whatever.
My womb space. I love that term so much, though.
Yeah, it's so important. But it's indicative,
it is.
Right? It's indicative of how much we are, myself included, like, affected by the, you know, the views and perspectives that are out there of like, oh, that's just whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I feel like Nat and I have talked about this extensively over the years, just around this idea that, you know, we just in what we do, I mean, I'm talking about periods all the time and hormones, and Nat's doing the same, and how much stigma still is attached to all of that. I mean, I've had so many clients over the years, so many women not even comment on a Facebook post because they can't comment on something that's that personal or something about periods. I mean, because it's just not okay to do in public still. And clients who have to go to the other room to talk about their cervical fluid because they're, you know, they're in front of their boyfriend or something like that. I mean, it really is incredible that we're still, there's still such a this amount of shame attached or stigma attached to talking about these things. So mm-hmm. I really appreciate what you're saying because I think that mm-hmm. we, Nat and I can definitely relate to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I know that, you know, we're going to talk about some tips on how we can stop fighting our bodies, and I'm sure that's what a lot of people are keen to hear. Maybe I'm sure you've got a lot, but what are the top tips that you've got to help women to overcome this?
So overcoming just that, the disconnection to their bodies. Well, the very simple one is breathe. It seems like, you know, we all want very complicated solutions lots of times. And, you know, when it comes to embodiment, it's actually really bringing it back down to the basics. What we're doing is we walk around over complicating things and really residing most of the day in our minds. And how often do we forget to breathe? And so something as simple as a practice, whether it's a 5-minute practice you want to do first thing in the morning, where you just bring your hands up on your, you know, your womb space and you breathe into your belly and just feel, just follow. It's just an observation of just the expansion of your belly and then the dropping as you exhale, the dropping of your shoulders away from your ears, feeling your chest rise, feeling spaciousness in your body from your back, heart, all the way through the front. So just keeping it really, really simple is the first tip that I would recommend. And another version of that, of course, is always just checking in with yourself. Like, I think if you start to do this more, like if you were to do a consistent practice of something like 5 minutes in the morning, then you'll walk in the rest of the day, you'll be able to be just a little bit more mindful of when you are holding your breath. And then again, putting that into practice, because the hardest part of the work is just continuing to check yourself. Like, am I really doing this? Just because I did it 5 minutes in the morning doesn't mean I'm like off the hook. Let me check and see, am I really breathing or not? And it's amazing how much the breath is our ally on so many levels, right? So when we break it down to the science of what's going on in our bodies, like hormonally speaking, right? So many women with high levels of cortisol and adrenaline, like throughout the day, because like, oh, this guy didn't text message me and my boss needs this deadline and I don't know what's going on. And the breath is a very easy way to really slowly get yourself out of this fight or flight mode and back into a place of ease and calm where you're bringing back in, you know, all the happy hormones instead of the ones that are like, we need to bring down a little. For most of the day. So that would be like the really, really basic tip. Now, a lot of what I do with clients and the students that I work with is a lot more, you know, embodiment and moving meditation practices. And for those, I have a bunch of videos and I actually created an embodiment starter kit, which is 3 different basic moving meditation practices that you can do again for 5 minutes in the morning that I think would be wonderful for something like this as a just really simple starting off point for how to get yourself connected, especially to that feminine energy in your body. And that's something that I'm more than happy to offer to anyone listening as well. And we can talk about that at the end of the show, but I think that's something that's easier done if they see the videos as opposed to me trying to walk through it, you know.
Yeah, amazing.
Talking, yeah.
Amazing. So that's the thing too. I mean, I'd like to understand that the breath is the only way we know how to turn off that autonomic nervous system, that the breath is the only thing. Like, there's 1,000 things that can get us into that flight or fight mode. And breath is the only thing that will turn it off. I think that's wild. That, you know, that there's so, it's like so beautifully simple. There are so many things that can wind us and take us to a place we don't even know that we're living in, with that really high, you know, stress response and that fight or flight almost constantly being turned off. And all you have to do is come back to that breath.
Yeah. And I'll add on to that as well. One thing that I initially heard through, I think it was Sheila Kelly, who is the founder of F Factor Movement, which is a pole dancing and sensual movement studio that I teach at. And she, what she mentions is also that emotion can actually be released through the body in a few different ways. And one is through tears, one is through sound, one is through breath, and one is through movement. And so that always stuck with me really. That just had a profound impact on me because I realized how many of those things we don't necessarily do enough, right? So in somatic experiencing and somatic movement, as a philosophy, there is a lot of focus on how us as humans, when we get into this fight or flight mode, we're different than all the other animals because we don't go through this process of, you know, shaking it out and doing whatever we need to actually release the excess energy that shows up from too much adrenaline. And because it's not socially acceptable, right? Like if you suddenly get a text message or don't get a text message and you're really upset and you're in, well, maybe the New York subway isn't a great example because no one really cares here. But if you're somewhere in public, generally other than New York, and you start yelling at the top of your voice, people are, you know, it's not socially acceptable. And so it's become ingrained in us to not have these very primal responses like, you know, shaking or, you know, screaming or crying because it's considered, you know, like, just not okay. And as a result, we shut down and we get frozen in this trauma response, even if it's low-grade trauma, but where then this is obviously going to affect so many different layers of our body, including our hormones, right? And so I think it's really important to also remember that there's breath and there's all these other different modalities that are really simple and are here and are part of our primal body, and we enforce it on ourselves, like, oh, no, that's not okay to do. And I think it's time that we brought that back, that permission to really go there, because it's just healthier.
That is seriously so awesome, because I feel like we have such a I think that so many of us have no idea how to truly move through emotions. Obviously, crying is one of those that everybody knows, but just the idea of moving or releasing sound, I mean, that's not acceptable at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think people are really uncomfortable with it because we're never taught this.
Yeah.
So are the four layers of embodiment similar to what you just described, or is that something completely different?
No, it's different.
Oh, it is. Oh, so what are the four layers of embodiment?
Thank you for asking. The way that I see it, you know, after all the work that I've done, both on myself and through the work at S Factor and the work with my one-on-one clients and my embody class, I've really come to realize that the journey back to your body is a layered, same way like we're peeling off the posters, right, that we were talking about earlier. It's really sort of a four-layered process. And what I usually work on first, and I think it's pretty much, it should probably be the case for everyone. I can't think of any situation where it wouldn't be. I think step one is really about what I like to call removing the static. And the way that I think of it is like, you know, when you're in the car and you have the radio on, but you're like one nudge off the right station, and so you're hearing all the crackling, and you can hear the song, but it's like not really fully there. So in that first phase, you're really just a notch off. You're not fully there, and the station is your body's voice, and you're trying to listen, but all you hear is static. And so a lot of people, you know, this could be in the form of food intolerances, like there's too much metal in your system, hormone imbalances, right, the whole situation. It could just be as simple as you don't drink enough water, and that's throwing off everything else in your system. So step one, I think, is really about just getting back to the foundational basic health side of things and checking to see what is it that's interfering with the signal, really. And so when a lot of people ask, like, okay, health and sensuality, I don't get it. Like, what's the connection there? I think as you go through the four layers of embodiment, it starts to make a lot more sense, because if clients are coming to me, right, and they are like, oh, I really want to get in touch with my authentic, you know, wisdom and my intuition, it's like, okay, that's great. We have to get you drinking enough water so that you can even hear what's going on. So that's really step one. And sometimes removing static also means adding certain things. It's not always just removing, right? It's just making sure that you're getting to a point where that knob is now on the radio station. So you're finally on the right radio station. So now you're in, like, layer two, where you're like, okay, great, I hear the song, but it's, like, maybe not in English. You're like, the song is great, but what on earth are they saying? And that's really the phase and the layer where you're starting to speak your body's language. So, oh, okay, I have a migraine. What is that really about? Why am I having, you know, major fatigue? Is it an adrenal issue? Is it this or that? Like, am I not drinking enough water? And really starting to play detective here as to what's going on and how your body specifically speaks. And by the end of that, you really start to understand, oh, okay, this is connected to that. When I get a headache, it's probably because I had gluten and I wasn't supposed to, or whatnot. Once you're at that point where you're like, okay, I totally get it. Now, I generally, I would say 80% of the time, I follow what it is that my body's trying to say, and I'm able to troubleshoot and respond accordingly. Step three, or phase three, is really about thinking to your body in each phase of your cycle. So now you've gotten a general sense of how your body works throughout the month, but now it's fine-tuning to your feminine body and to your specific, you know, where you are in what phase and what exactly your body needs specifically in your follicular versus your luteal versus when you're menstruating, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's really about mastering that phase of, like, who you are in your feminine body. And because we all know we're hormonally four different women, right, throughout the month, essentially. And so starting to really become friends with each one of them in a way. And that's not just giving yourself support, but also understanding the feminine genius that comes with each of them. And this is the part, I'm sure you guys have talked about this like a million times, but the part that women don't get told about as much, which is like all the things we're awesome at during the different phases of our cycle. And so I think that's really important as well. And then finally, you know, the final step is really just about connecting to the energetic and emotional body and starting to cultivate that somatic intelligence that we were talking about with the breath work, with the moving meditation, because at this point you really have a better understanding of the physical side of your body and what exactly you need to do to support that side, that you can now move into the nuanced experience of, like, the energetic and the emotional. And there's not to say, like, there's days where I wake up and, like, I might start in layer four and then go back to layer one, and, you know, we flow in and out. It's by no means a very linear structure, but I do believe that you cannot get to the point of mastering your somatic intelligence and cultivating a deep connection to your body if you're not handling, like, the basics, like drinking water.
Mm. Yeah, the very
that old chestnut.
I love what you said about being four different women throughout the month. Men, take notes.
Right?
No, but I love it when they think that they know and they've got no idea and they're like, oh, you're becoming her now. It's like, you've got no idea what you're talking about, dude. Like, seriously. Like, before the monthlies arrive, oh, everybody, it's her. You better believe it, mate. She's here.
Thankfully, it's short-lived.
Oh, dear. I know, exactly. Wow. But, you know, when we learn to, like, I love that, when we learn to accept who she is, it's like, well, she just is, so get over it.
For sure. Yeah, I think it reminds me, like, the layers of embodiment remind me so much of the concept of body literacy, which we talk a lot about, too, just this having this understanding of, this deep understanding of how your body functions, and so that you can then sort of read the signs and symptoms and act accordingly.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. So as we're running out of time, as we always do, but do you want to just quickly talk about the meditations that you were mentioned, you know, a little while back for mm-hmm. our listeners so that they can access that as well?
Yeah, most definitely. So there, you can either access it by just going to it's bit.ly/embodykit. So that's just bit.ly/embodykit. And over there, if you just plug in your email, there's three videos, a bunch of playlists that go along with each of the moving meditations, because I really believe that everything is a ton more fun with really good, fun, sexy music. So that's all there too, as well as a sensual meditation, which will just get you, it's a great way to get you connected to your five senses and just get you a little bit more present in your body when you need it.
Perfect. And tell everyone where they can find you as well before we have to say goodbye.
Okay. Well, you can find me at thepleasureplate.com. And also, if you are interested in an embodiment dance class that I do, that is all over at embodydanceclass.com. There's a bunch of different dates coming up. Actually around the U.S. So check it out and see, maybe there's somewhere, maybe I'm coming to your neighborhood.
But not my neighborhood.
No, not coming all the way there. No, not yet. Not yet.
One of these days, Nat, we'll all get there.
Yeah, I know. One of these days we'll have a massive, I don't know, we'll have a big meeting. Well, thank you, Nadia, so much for joining us today. Actually been beautiful and refreshing, and I think there's something that, you know, I know I've learned a little bit more and added a few more layers as well. We can join us next time on the Period Party. Who have we got next again, Nickers?
We are talking to Krista Orecchio next week.
That's it. Yeah. Excellent.
That's it.
So tune in for that. Otherwise, yeah, we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you.